My new book, Facts That Aren't True, is out now. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions. Click the link in the description now. I don't have all that much of an opinion on Andrew, but based on what I've seen, my general take on the person, or I guess what I can tell you is, I've never once heard him express a complex thought or anything that could even be remotely called a complex thought before. I don't think he's even remotely serious. He lives entirely in the world of gotchas and being censorious and trying to rage bait people and make them upset. Like in the Q&A section of this debate, some girl asks him a question, and instead of answering the question, he basically says, "Well, I don't value or think what women think matters at all, so I'm not going to address that." So let's go over just how incredibly bad faith and unserious this is. The topic of the debate is Christianity, or secular humanism, what's best? And at no point, at least in the parts I've seen, I've not seen the entire two-hour thing, but Andrew really never attempts to even argue that how and why Christianity is better. He just makes declarations about it, saying that it's superior and that it comes from God and it doesn't change and things like that. And it's not like horrible things haven't been done in the name of Christianity before.
The Humanist Manifesto, which is actually called Humanism and Its Aspirations, Humanist Manifesto 3, blah, blah, blah. It's got a stupid title. It's terribly written and it's complete nonsense. And no human being should ever adhere to it for the purpose of human flourishing or anything else. Yet some do, like Craig here. Its greatest issue.
See, this is just, it's like basically poisoning the well, I guess, but it's just so completely unserious and stupid.
You is simply that it only makes vague descriptive claims and not one prescription for what it should actually do. So I propose a new revised manifesto, and I'm calling it Humanist 4, Society and Its Consequences.
So, I mean, problems right off the bat. You know, here's the secular humanist manifesto, right? I mean, you can read about it, but it's not like secular humanism and what you find on this website and whatever the authors of this write is the only kind of secular humanist framework you could ever possibly adopt. He treats this as if it is the Bible of secularism, and that's just simply not true. It's also, this isn't a legal document. It's not legally binding. It's not a list of prescriptions, which Andrew kind of describes that it's not. So, you know, I'm not trying to accuse him of saying that it is. But what he is doing is he's pretending that if we can't find a resolution to a hypothetical problem he has on a secular worldview in this manifesto, which is only a few hundred words long, then it doesn't have any like moral utility or anything like that. There's absolutely no reason, Andrew, that you couldn't believe in the doctrines or tenets or whatever we want to call these of the Secular Humanist Manifesto and then not develop a constitution, a bill of rights to be the actual, I don't know if I'd really want to call them moral principles, but the law of the land, so to speak.
Note, while drinking in my cramped hotel room last night at an airport Holiday Inn, James, I wrote this manifesto, which is the culmination of 100 Wilson generations of drunken reason, Irish sensibilities, and just a drab of single malt whiskey. Now,
so does Andrew Wilson think that the rambling, drunken, incoherent statements of somebody from his obviously flawed bloodline is the way you should structure society or makes for a rational discussion or a coherent set of logical rules? No, then this is obviously just a complete and idiotic straw man. Andrew doesn't get to claim that, well, I wrote my own secular humanist manifesto, therefore these rules are just fine and nobody can tell me otherwise. The way this is just a bad faith and a straw man right off the bat, it's remarkable.
The quote-unquote normal modern-day debate viewer, who we would just refer to in the Crucible as not very smart, and, you know... Okay.
Yeah, the audience didn't laugh, so you had to.
Kind of fun to philosophically torture, much like a cat and mouse gently severing their soul from their body piece by agonizing piece, metaphorically, of course, not to mention being better than them in basically every aspect of life. Luckily, the Crucible's here, In case the low IQ, MDD liberal scum wants to whine and cry for another 2 hours of Q&A after their man-humping earth daddy fled the room with his boy toy tears in his eyes while his dress was flowing. I don't think we're going to see a repeat of that this time, though, right?
I'm going nowhere.
Okay, great.
You can leave. Fine.
Let's launch into my new and improved humanist manifesto. Greg will be unable to refute any of my prescriptions based on his manifesto if he only uses his manifesto. Instead, he will require a normative framework to supplement that manifesto.
Yeah, that's how normative ethics works. The humanist manifesto, it's just a guiding text. Craig didn't really go this direction from what I saw, but you could literally just say, I don't think we should use the secular humanist manifesto. I think there are ideas from it that we'll obviously borrow. But I wouldn't use it directly. And that's not, you don't lose the debate if you do that. There's no problem with that. There's all kinds of secular, you can take any kind of secular, normative, ethical framework from the perspective of trying to maximize human well-being as the standard you're going for. A standard that is selected in no less arbitrary way of saying, well, I think that God is good, so by doing what the Bible says, we would be doing good things, and we ought to do those things. You can't derive an ought from an is, so you can't tell me that your framework is objectively better in any sort of sense. What we can do, and what isn't even remotely hard to do, is show that the secularization of the world, the course of history has showed that that has made the world a richer, more healthy, more prosperous, safer society, and less dogmatic and less ignorant society. The least and most of those things that's ever existed has happened because of that. And while Christians have been involved in that movement, they've also, almost universally in the West, been the group of people that's been against all of those efforts in every single step along the way.
He has to do this because without using the manifesto, what are we even arguing about? I can refute his...
secular principles and the idea of maximizing human well-being, which, again, you don't need just the manifesto in order to argue for those things or even find them evidentiarily.
His prescriptions based on Christian ethics, church tradition, and effects to society, which is what this debate's about. What is best for society? But he's unable to apply that standard with the humanist manifesto itself. He must appeal to the sources outside this manifesto. So humanism has no real, measurable, actual, conceivable effect.
Every single person, I don't know if you know this, Andrew, but there are thousands of denominations of Christianity. And like Catholics, for example, what basis do they have for the doctrine of papal infallibility? What basis do they have for the Immaculate Conception or that Mary ascended into heaven, body and soul? None. They literally made all of those things up. There are countless theological arguments and positions that have been made that are not stated in the Bible. People simply interpret, well, they interpret the nature of God or Jesus or whatever and the ethics of this God or Jesus or whatever, in light of the kinds of biases they have and how they, and they read into the text those biases, and then they construct a framework, an interpretation of it based on those things. We all do that kind of thing. There are plenty of things that are explicit in the Bible, like don't do adultery, for example, but there are all kinds of other positions that are quite vague. There have been very historically significant schisms in the within Christianity because of this. So for example, is the only point of existence, is the only way you can achieve salvation, is the only morally correct thing to do to place your faith in what Jesus did on the cross for you? Because that's one interpretation. If that's the case, you can be whatever kind of monster you want to be as long as you place your faith in that event, and then ultimately you will go to heaven. Other belief systems, ethical, theological ideas about Christianity say that the works you do here on earth matter as well as your faith does. Remember this bishop who spoke at Donald Trump's inauguration? She's a Christian. Are her ideas what Andrew Wilson, who I think is a Christian nationalist, and I don't know how extreme Andrew's beliefs are. I don't know if he wants a white ethno state or not. But Andrew, the people that are rejecting this person's Christianity are the people on your side. So apparently we actually can't use Christianity, because Christianity gets you to, well, we should have compassion for immigrants and trans people, something that you have absolutely no interest in.
Act on society, yet Christianity does. He offers descriptions, I offer prescriptions. So here it is. I'm going to read to you the tenets of humanism according to the Humanist Manifesto itself, their own words, and then apply a reasonable and logical prescription to each tenet. Now, Craig has to debunk each of my prescriptions using...
Remember, you'll see shortly, but remember that he said reasonable and... How did he put it?
And then apply a reasonable and logical prescription to each tenet.
Reasonable and logical prescription. Remember that he said that.
Now, Craig has to debunk each of my prescriptions using the Humanist Manifesto, or he loses. Why does he lose? Well, because I can debunk the stated prescriptions easily using Christian ethics, and he can't...
At no point does he ever do that, by the way.
...debunk or even successfully argue against one using the Humanist Manifesto. He requires something else. Do you see the problem here?
Yeah, which is fine, because you can pull on any other kind of philosophical or scientific or whatever, any other kind of secular ethic to justify or bolster or add to something that's written in the secular Humanist Manifesto. Kind of like, you know, how do you justify the rights or claims or whatever that are laid out in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights? Well, a lot of it is based on English common law. So, like, do we just say we do not have a legitimate government because the Constitution and the Bill of Rights cannot recursively justify every single thing that they claim? I mean, you can say that, but that's only if you're just deliberately trying to be a dishonest piece of shit who's just trying to come up with something that's going to make somebody go, wait, what? I guess I'm not really sure what to say to that.
One, first tenet, Humanist Manifesto. Knowledge of the world is derived by observation, experiment, and rational analysis. Humanists find that science is the best method for determining this knowledge, as well as solving problems and developing beneficial technologies. My prescription...
Okay, so we'll just pause there. So what he read was this. He didn't read the entire thing, but this idea that... Well, I'm not going to reread it. You can pause if you want to read it, but he went over like the first two sentences there. So based on this claim that we derive knowledge about the world through these means, and that we can use science to determine knowledge and solve problems, what is Andrew's prescription? Based off of that, we should...
Based on that, the birth rate is low, therefore all women must be forcibly bred. Experiments must be conducted on them to maximize fertility and thereby maximize human flourishing, because science, and that is good.
Yeah. Craig does a pretty good job of going over this when they start the open discussion. But Craig just lays out, Andrew, those are your very stupid prescriptions based off of your interpretation of this. Just like a Christian can have an interpretation of what Christian morality looks like that Andrew would disagree with. Now, first of all, how incredibly stupid and unimaginative it is to just say, well, we have low birth rates, so we should force higher birth rates among the population. That is an authoritarian perspective. Everything I've seen about Andrew screams to me that he very much is in favor of authoritarianism, and all he's doing is applying his worldview. He's like forcing his worldview into the secularist worldview. There's absolutely no reason that you cannot include in a secular framework a democratic means of decision making. There's absolutely no need for any kind of authoritarianism. Also, birth rates can potentially be a problem for the status quo, the way the system is now. There's absolutely no reason that the system must remain exactly the way it is forever. And it's not like this is the only solution. Now, what he's going to say is that you can't point to the manifesto to rebut that prescription. But I think anybody with even half a brain cell can read this highlighted portion and see that it does. Or we could read this highlighted section and see that it does. Or we could read this highlighted section and see that it does. But again, this also is very stupid, because it's essentially predicated on the idea that if you can't find a prohibition against it in this document that's a couple hundred words, then you can't give me a reason why it isn't permissible. His very stupid straw man prescriptions, that is. So what is next?
Humans, this is tenet two of the manifesto. Humans are an integral part of nature, the result of unguided evolutionary change. Humanists recognize nature as self-existing. We accept our life as all and enough distinguished things as they are from the things we might wish or imagine them to be. So my prescription based on this vague nonsense, because humans are unguided, they require guidance. Maximum force from the state can lend itself to maximum results. People ought to accept things as they are, and that requires ending all charity to avoid giving them false hope. And that is good.
Okay. Feel free. I encourage you to pause and see if you can figure out what you would say in response to that. I sat with this for a really long time. And so there's two possible reasons why that is. One, we either have a towering intellect that is so far above us that we just don't even know how to respond. Or two, it's so incoherent that you really can't make a response to it. It's the second thing. Evolution, it just says evolution is not a guided process. Here, I can pull it up here. That's just to say that nature doesn't operate according to a teleology that a divine cosmic being has put in order for us. We exist in this nature. What I read this other part to be saying is that we shouldn't hope and wish that reality as we can ascertain and understand it is different than we want it to be, that we shouldn't have faith. And this kind of faith is the, I think what it is it's a knock on the idea of faith being the hope for that which cannot be seen. I can't tell you how many people I know that literally just by reading their Facebook statuses, you can tell that they're completely hopeless because all they do is talk about how much their life sucks, but how much they're just going to put it in the hands of God to fix for them. These people literally do nothing to help themselves. So based on that, Andrew is taking the unguided part and saying, therefore, humans need guidance. So therefore, let's have authoritarian top-down rule again, which is just so... He's doing it again. Humanists would say that we as human beings, we have reason, like we have the ability to do reason, we have agency, and we have the ability to create ethical structures, normative ethical structures. He's really just tacitly assuming that the lack of divine guidance that secular humanism says is the reality we live in means that we have a complete lack of like ethical governance. Also, it's not like charity gives people false hope. It doesn't do that at all. Welfare and charity literally do help people's lives. By taking it away, we would knowingly be taking away, to a certain extent, known quantities of, you know, alleviation for whatever situations people happen to find themselves in.
Tenet three, ethical values are derived from human needs and interest is tested by experience. This is in the Humanist Manifesto as well. So my prescription based on that, we ought to have an emperor. He ought to be Darth Logicist.
Okay, so sorry, I wanted to go here so we could follow along. But he only read the first thing. Ethical values are derived from human need and interest as tested by experience. So I'll go back and play it, but he's going to start saying that, well, then we should have an absolute dictator who's going to tell us what to do. I think it was probably deliberate that he didn't read the rest of this. An absolute dictator is not going to do these things, nor are they beholden to doing them or can be held accountable. But in a representative democracy, like a republic that we have, at least in theory, when people don't provide for you, you get thrown out of office. Now, we have pretty big problems with the incumbency dilemma here in the United States, but just because it's not perfect doesn't mean that it's fundamentally broken.
So my prescription based on that, we ought to have an emperor. He ought to be Darth Logicist. A one world global government under Darth Logicist, supreme ruler of the federal peoples of Earth, will maximize the responsibility granted to them, thus recognizing their inherent dignity. And that is good.
Right. So this is, again, so bewilderingly incoherent that it would... I don't know if it would be a good debate strategy to do this, but it really doesn't even warrant a response because ethical values being derived from human experience doesn't mean that autocracy is justified. There's no deductive argument or any kind of argument that you can make that says that that would lead to that, or that therefore that. Secular humanism, I mean, I wouldn't call Napoleon like the father of secularism necessarily, although he may have been the single most influential individual person responsible for sort of its spread, because before him, all the kingdoms of Europe were ruled by these monarchs that claimed they had the divine authority to rule, and they were in bed with the church, and that's how they had their, that's how they justified the power that they had. But ever since, I mean, even ever since then, that's been undermined, and the Europe, for example, these countries in large part have been secularized, and they have changed, and all metrics of human well-being have skyrocketed, as opposed to, you know, that pre-Enlightenment, Napoleonic Revolution era. There have been some catastrophic bumps in the road, like World War I and World War II, but those events were far less catastrophic than other historical events like the 30 Years' War, for example.
Tenet 4, life's fulfillment emerges from individual participation in the service of human ideals. My prescription based on this.
So he didn't read anything else because, you know, it ends with stuff like provide comfort in times of want and encouragement in times of plenty. So what is his prescription?
We ought to occasionally beat random citizens to death with hammers, thereby reinforcing the value of the preciousness of human life, forcibly transmitting wonder and awe via the hammer, and that is good.
Again, like, what do you even say to this? Because it's so lazy and stupid and incoherent. It's actually just mockery. I mean, the idea that if we went around and systematically and randomly murdered people, that would teach people that life is valuable. Is that what you actually think would happen, Andrew? Do you think that if random people were just brutally deleted right in front of us, that people would get this intrinsic sense of the value of human life? Or do you think that they would claim that the system is illegitimate and doesn't work, and bloody revolution would almost certainly follow?
Tenet 5, humans are social by nature and find meaning in relationships.
Right, so I think he stops there. Do you think he's going to refer to the part about mutual care and concern and being free of cruelty and its consequences? Again, he's giving these prescriptions and claiming that the manifesto can't or doesn't have anything to say about his obviously stupid. And I mean, even he knows that they're obviously stupid, but he thinks that the manifesto can't do anything about them. Well, like, literally what we have right here is a direct retort to everything he has said so far. But let's see what else he's got.
My prescription based on this, we ought to eliminate all those who believe in violence. Conflict revolution, who believe in violent conflict resolution, thereby making sure we eliminate violent conflict. We call this the paradox of violent conflict, and that is good.
I don't know if Andrew is one of these sovereign citizen type people, but what he just argued there is just one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. Andrew, this actually is the system that we have. So read Thomas Hobbes's Leviathan, or read people who talk about it. The philosophical idea is that you build a state that has an absolute monopoly on the use of violence on its population. The alternative to this, which we've seen fail time and time again, is the sort of tit-for-tat honor culture type thing where the Hatfields and the McCoys take conflict resolution into their own hands, which is literally just a system of retributive and never-ending and perpetual violence. If the state has ultimate authority, then you are actually criminally liable for taking matters into your own hands. Now, there are very odd exceptions, you know, like crimes of passion, or I don't know what you would call it, where, like, if you catch somebody that, I don't know, abusing your child and then you kill them and you only serve like 6 months in jail on a manslaughter case because, you know, a court of your peers understands that any reasonable person would do that. But no, this actually is literally the system we have. Now, I don't know if Wilson's take is that America is a Christian nation or whatever, but if we are, that is the system that we have. So you're undermining the actual system that we have. A humanist, a secularist, very much believes, because we can track this, that, like, for example, when it comes to violence, you know, a country that educates women, for example, that educates more of its people, just simply becomes a more peaceful, prosperous society. So humanism, we believe that we can reduce violence through those means, education, diplomacy, and like political means of conflict resolution, not your very stupid prescription of this like mass murder. It's such a mess what he's saying. It's like he's saying that if we kill violent people, like if you kill a killer, the number of killers in the world remains the same. Like it's almost like this very, very low tier Redditor stupid kind of argument. And once again, he is injecting violent authoritarianism into secular humanism because that's what he is. And that's the only way that his brain works, apparently. So it's so uncharitable and such a stupid straw man.
Asked, working to benefit society maximizes individual happiness. So the descriptor here is, right now millions suffer from inequality. My prescription is we should just eat nachos and that is good. Now,
again, like that, like there's literally nothing to say about that. It's just a silly attempt at mockery. So
I can refute all these prescriptions using Christian ethics. Craig's unable to refute any of them.
At no point does he ever do that. I know I already said that, but we're just pointing it out.
Using his own standard. That standard is humanism based on this manifesto. Again, do you see the problem? Unless he just makes it up as he goes, which is what he's going to do. And that's why Christian ethics are superior.
The irony in that statement. So he's going to claim, I don't know if he already said it or if he's going to say it in a little bit, but he's going to say something like Christianity offers like an unchanging moral standard. And maybe he's going to call it objective. Whereas like the secular one, it's, I don't know, a matter of interpretation. It's not consistent. You have to go to outside sources, which if they're secular sources, you're still doing secularism, by the way. But it's Christian ethics. They've changed dramatically over time. The Christian position on slavery has changed. The Christian position on women's rights has changed a little bit. The idea that like an ethical framework wouldn't change as, you know, as the times change, like that being a weakness is so incredibly stupid. If a system is designed to get better, then inevitably it's going to change.
Us destroying the entire ideology of secular humanism. If Craig moves away from this document, he's admitting defeat, something he knows a lot about. The advantages of Christian ethics is that it can provide a standard which is unchanging for what people ought do, not just descriptions of what they are doing.
You can't derive an ought from an is, Andrew, so it doesn't do that either.
Craig's moral frame.
Unless you arbitrarily assign whatever the normative goal or whatever is, or the objective you have in mind, and then it becomes objective in that sense. But the way you would do that by just declaring God as, or God's word as the thing you ought follow is absolutely in no way less arbitrary than saying, you know, the human condition and well-being or whatever is, it is the standard you should follow.
Framework necessarily must change by its own admission, which is why society hasn't adopted it and won't adopt it. They don't.
Sorry, that kind of started in an awkward spot, but the idea that society has not adopted it and won't adopt it. The Secular Humanist Manifesto was first written, what did that say, in 1933 or whatever? Sure, 1933. Has any country adopted that specifically? Well, not really, but the United States is a secular republic. It was the first one in the entire world. So it is a secular framework that we operate under. Now, Christian nationalists and whatever the hell Andrew is and other people will say, no, the United States framework is Christian. It just flat out isn't. So we can move past that. That would be for a different video on a different day, I guess. But the idea that countries, there are very few recent countries. Most of them are in Eastern Europe, because of the breakup of the Soviet Union, and in Africa. Those are, for the most part, the only places where like new countries have come about. But I've already been over this with the like the historical record of since America came onto the scene as a secular republic. The number of times that our you know, the general structure of like our constitution and all that has been copied. It's massive. The majority of Europe does that, for example, and Canada does that, and many, many, many other countries are secular governments. Also, the idea that the Christian ethic creates a more prosperous society than a secularly arranged or formed whatever society, that's just literally demonstrably false.
Don't know what it will be in another 20 years, 15 years, 200 years. They have no idea. There are now four versions, because I wrote one more. Should we have, I don't know, 5,000, Craig? 10,000? I don't know.
How many denominations of Christianity should there be? Because there's about 5,000 of them.
The Humanist Manifesto can be interpreted any way you want. I just demonstrated.
The Bible can be interpreted any way you want.
That by interpreting it how I want it to. And can't even be used to refute bad...
Yes, but it's not authoritarian. The structure of, or the idea behind how it would be implemented wouldn't be authoritarian. So, like, to not see his lazy straw man in all of this is just so incredible. This is why I say he's just such an unserious person, and I've never heard him articulate a complex thought before.
Prescriptions given by bad people like Andrew Wilson based on the Humanist Manifesto itself. So what are we even doing here? My society has produced obvious good results on society for millennia, including the fact that all societies which currently are considered the best are using my moral framework and not his.
Jesus Christ, what a statement. I guess I already covered that, but what's really funny is, you know, earlier, Andrew said that Craig, like, he's rigging this debate by saying Craig's only allowed to use this couple hundred word document to justify or to try to like debunk any of my straw man, you know, prescriptions or whatever. But Andrew doesn't have to do that. He says he appeals to the Bible, but he appeals to history as well. And then he appears to all this empirical stuff about other countries.
None, as in not one, as in zero societies on Earth are run off the Humanist Manifesto. If Craig claimed...
Right. Again, I should have let this played out a little bit farther, but no, they're not based on the Humanist Manifesto, but the number of secular governments in the world is actually quite large, and they are demonstrably and measurably doing far better.
Claims the manifesto itself isn't necessary to humanism or its doctrines, then again, what the hell is humanism? And how do we know what it is? How do we know what we're supposed to do with it? If we don't even have a document which describes it, then how can we understand how it works? If Craig claims we can use things outside the manifesto...
Like, the idea, like, is there one math book in the entire world, Andrew? No. Is there one engineering book? No. Is there one science book in the entire world? No. Your Bible isn't even one book. It's all kinds of books. If all we had was the Gospel of Mark, there'd be countless things about Christian ethics that simply would not have a justification if that was the case.
He also, again, loses unless he can describe how that is humanism and how my prescriptions are not humanism, which is clearly defined.
Because your prescriptions have nothing to do with human well-being or anything like that. Unless the only thing you think matters is what happens to you in the afterlife. But if that's the case, then like that's just coercion. And it would also justify anything. If God told you to do the most horrendous imaginable things or you go to hell, well, you're weighing finite, something finite against something infinite. So it's always justified, which is why it's coercion and disgusting. I'll play a little bit of the back and forth just to show how Andrew doesn't even attempt to defend anything or be honest in any kind of way.
Humanism 3?
No.
You know, you do follow Humanism 3?
It's a framework, yes.
Okay, it is your framework.
Yeah.
Can you, using the document of Humanism 3, debunk a single prescriptive statement that I make?
Well, your prescriptive statements were just something you made up based on your personal interpretations of it.
And, so secular humanism 3.
Yeah, I was in the middle of talking, Andrew.
So humanism 3.
If you want to come down while I'm talking, that'd be great, thank you. Yeah, what you did was you said, I think this is what the manifesto says, so therefore I'm going to interpret it this way and bring my own prescriptions. Well, Andrew, your prescriptions are your prescriptions, and that is literally a straw man because it is your own interpretation of secular humanism, which doesn't align with what everyone else thinks secular humanism is. You claim-
like... Does, like, would would Andrew accept if the Pope came out tomorrow and said, this is now officially what all Christians believe, And if you don't believe it, then you're not even a Christian and you're not allowed to speak on behalf of the Bible or anything like that. No, I don't think he would accept that. So when you say, hey, I adopt this belief system and I'm going to interject my own ideas and interpretations of it, therefore that's right and you can't use anything internally to critique me, it's so dishonest and stupid.
Claim I don't know what an ad hominem things are. Trust me, I debate clarifiers all the time. But yeah, I don't have to argue against your personal prescriptions. We can just talk about what secular humanism is better for society. None of the things that you mentioned are about society. They're just what you don't like about secular humanism. What I'm just going to ask you is very simple.
Humanism.
Yeah, what I'm going to ask you, Andrew, is very
simple. How long are you going to filibuster, dude?
I was literally about to ask a question. If you can calm down and let me finish my sentence, then you can respond.
Craig,
right, what I'm going to ask
Craig,
you
chill
is...
Chill out, Craig. Stop spurging, Craig.
What I'm going to ask you,
spurging, Craig.
I'm like three
words
away from the end.
Stop spurging, Craig.
Stop spurging. Are you okay? Do you need a
minute? Andrew's a chain smoker, so I think, I don't know, like he's freaking out here a little bit or something. But he's so desperately trying to get Craig off track so that he doesn't have to answer any questions.
To the question. Go ahead, Craig.
Do you need a moment, Andrew?
Calm down, Craig.
If you need a moment to like take a breath, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah. Craig, this is a great time to ask the question.
What I'm going to ask you, Andrew, is because you failed to do that in your opening, could you explain to us why Christianity is better for society?
Yeah.
Instead of just attacking your own views.
Yeah, so let's make this really simple, right? So Craig says here, he says, well, that's your interpretation of the Humanist Manifesto.
So he's not addressing the question at all.
Do you see the problem? Yeah, everybody's going to have an interpretation of the Humanist Manifesto. Thus, if everybody has an interpretation of the Humanist...
What are they clapping for?
...this manifesto, including me, we can make prescriptions based on it, Craig. So now I'm...
That, in the United States, which is like a... We have... It's democratic, right? You can vote. You can be a Nazi and vote. You get to do that in the United States. But what you don't get to do is be an individual and say, I... declare as just a person in the system, this is what everybody is going to do. Even at the highest level, we're not supposed to have that. Like there are executive orders for things. There are certain like exclusive powers, like the right to like tell the military what to do because you're the commander in chief. But by and large, in terms of the way the society is run, we don't have that at any single level. So you can absolutely have a secular system that that isn't privy to these stupid perversions and straw man positions that you have on it.
I'm making prescriptions based on the Humanist Manifesto for what?
But it's just so not based on the Humanist Manifesto. Almost everything you argued, Andrew, had nothing to do with the tenet that you read before giving it.
Society. Okay, you are asking about Christianity. I told you that Christian ethics are better for society because I can refute the prescriptions made in the Humanist Manifesto that I just made in the Humanist Manifesto. You, Craig, cannot
then do it.
Refute a single prescription I made off a single tenet in the Humanist Manifesto using your own manifesto.
Then use something else, but also we can.
Do you understand that?
Yes, Andrew, I completely understand
that. So doesn't that happen in society entailment, a societal entailment, Craig?
Would you like me to answer the question, or are you just going to talk when I talk?
I can't wait. Go ahead.
Do you need a minute to calm down? It's fine. We can take 2 minutes, and you can... Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, get to the answer, please.
Yeah, so again, what you have...
Yeah, but you were asked a question, Andrew, and you didn't
haven't done
answer.
Is explain why Christianity is better. You just said, I think it's better because I don't like secular humanism. That's not explaining why Christianity, what ethics, what morals about Christianity make it better for society. What you've done is simply attack secular humanism. You haven't given me a single reason why Christianity specifically is better. What you said is Christianity is better because I don't like these things about secular humanism, and I want you to tell me why these things about secular humanism is bad. But Andrew, you aren't here to attack secular humanism. You're here to defend Christianity. So you failed to do it in your intro. So can you just give me a single reason specifically without attacking secular humanism, because that's what flat earthers do. You're acting like a flat earther. So flat earthers attack the globe instead of saying why flat earth is better. So instead of attacking secular humanism, could you give me a reason why Christianity is the thing that is better for society? Tell me what ethics, what morals.
Yeah, because when I make prescriptions based on a Humanist Manifesto, I can debunk those prescriptions using Christian ethics.
Then do it.
Ethics. You can't debunk those prescriptions using the Humanist Manifesto.
Well, go on then, debunk
that's
them.
Why it...
Yes, we can, because we... Anyways, I showed you the highlighted pieces.
It's better. Okay, here, I'll show you. Let's give you an example. If we can go through these, we can get through.
Well, that'd be wonderful, yeah, because you know, what I would like to hear is reasons why Christianity is better, not reasons why you dislike secular humanism. This isn't about feelings, this is about reasons.
Let's do this, perhaps, so that we're not talking past each other. Are you willing to steel man my argument here?
You haven't made an argument, Andrew, not for your side. So again, not even making an attempt to refute anything, to even do what he said he can do, which is refute his prescriptions.
And you use any of the tenets in secular, the humanist manifesto. Let me explain.
You said you can debunk that using Christianity.
I'll explain. Yes. So under Christian ethics, forcibly locking up women and doing horrible things to them would be a violation of God's law. It would be a violation of Jesus Christ's law to man. So because of...
That's literally stated absolutely nowhere, unless you're going to point to the Golden Rule, which existed in Buddhism 500 years before Christ.
That Christians would say, no, you can't lock women up and forcibly breed and experiment on them. You're not allowed to do that, Craig. Now, Craig, I
mean, Christians forcibly rounded up and executed women on witchcraft and all kinds of other stupid things. They started the Q&A, and every single question that I saw was a guy asking a question to Craig, and it looks like there's only two women in total that ask any questions, but this is the only thing that I saw, and it, like, there could be some others, but I'm not watching an entire two-hour video, that was directed at Andrew, and let's see how he does with it.
So yes, I am the best-looking man in this room.
So your prescription of tenet one, that all women should be forcibly bred due to lower birth rates, mm-hmm. does not represent secular humanism because it violates consent, which causes harm.
Exactly.
So I'd like to make my own prescription based off of a story in the Bible, which the Bible is the Christian's moral framework. So Numbers 31 tells how Moses went into battle with the Midianites and afterwards took the virgin women probably as sex slaves. Therefore, sex slavery is moral under Christianity. Can you refute that?
Well, I'm sorry. What was the tale?
So Numbers 31, Moses went into battle with the Midianites, and after the battle, he took the virgin women, mm-hmm. most likely as sex slaves, being that they're virgin women. And
wait,
he...
what does most likely mean? You made it up?
No, like, that is actually what's going on there. It's a majority scholarly opinion on that verse, because it, like, why keep the virgin girls? It says kill everybody except them. We can't keep any of the young boys, just the virgin girls.
No.
That's most likely meaning made
That's
it
my
up.
Interpretation.
Oh, okay. Well, it's my interpretation. Your interpretation's wrong.
But that was my answer to you.
That's my answer. It's the same critique back and forth. Besides that, I don't have to listen to you. You're a woman. I'm kidding. I was kidding. Relax. I'm kidding.
He's actually not.
Kind of.
Yeah. So there we go. Like, it's easy to point out that he's a piece of shit, but he doesn't care about that. He wants you to think that. But Andrew thinks that he's that guy. And he's just, like, what that demonstrates very clearly, beyond him being a piece of shit, is that you're not that guy, Andrew. You're just such an unserious human being. And there's, like, literally, if you died, the world would just not change in any meaningful way. Well, it would probably be slightly better, but no, you don't bring anything to the table. See you tomorrow.